version. If you don't want video, you just say, and it'll be audio only. It's totally up to you.
It's better to be audio.
Okay, that's fine. So audio, I'll get that done. Audio only. Okay, so first up, could you tell me, my name is Mohammed, by the way. I come from a project called Urban Circle, based in University of South Wales. I'm volunteering here today with Roy, just to give my time for these interviews. Could you just give me, close the door, get my notes coming in. Your name and where you are from.
Originally where I'm from.
Yeah.
My name is Zia Ahmed. I'm from Pakistan.
Could you tell me more about where you're from then? So tell me whereabouts in Pakistan and what was it like where you were born?
I'm from Faisalabad and I born in a village where my mom's mom lived, and we used to visit there all our childhood until she was alive. And my dad was a contractor, so wherever his work, when we was little, we traveled with him. We traveled different part of the country, and when we grown up, at the age of going to colleges, we settled down in Faisalabad. And our village, where my dad's lands and everything was, near Faisalabad. And my old dad's family lived there. And we was living in city. And I had my GCSE level education in Faisalabad. And then when I went to college, it was still in Faisalabad, but it was in city. So I did internet, FA, Faculty of Arts, and then after that I did a BA, and I'm one of my 8 brothers and sisters, big family, and I went to college. Obviously we had friends, we had a very good time, good teachers. And when I finished my education, I did just the housework, learn all the life skills with my mom. My older sister, I was the second place in my family. My older sister was married, then I was the head of the house, like a mom gave all responsibilities to me. And I was doing quite well, all of it. My brothers was all younger. Then we have 3 sisters, they are older. And then I have 5 brothers. And we was teaching them, going to their schools to take care of them. And my dad was usually, wherever his work is, his projects are, he's usually there. And we did whatever was our duty, my duty. Take care of the family and mom, and then all my aunties, uncles was around nearby. We used to visit them, their children come to stay with us. Friends was obviously, we have a good time with friends. And after when I was 24, I had engagement. He was from here. His mom went to Pakistan and it was arranged. And then my husband went there and we met each other. Then when I was 25, I got married and come to this country. And then life start.
Before we get to there, because that will be my next question. What was it like growing up in Faisalabad? How did it feel? Were you a joyful kid? Were you responsible, you know, elder? Tell me about what it was like growing up. What fond memories do you have of it?
It was just average family, average lifestyle. Though our parents try to provide whatever they can, but I can't say it was a very lavish or very, very lavish life. It was just middle class life. Yeah. But we enjoy our life, and there wasn't any desires of more than what we got. Whatever they provide us was more than enough for us. And in those days, there not used to be this trend of going for holidays. The holidays was usually visiting grandparents or aunties or uncles and having a good time with them. Even my grandmother used to play with us all the board games and things like that. And obviously, we all brothers and sisters play with our dolls. Sisters, we play with the dolls, and brothers, they go out in the outside and play their games.
Tell me about the games you play then. I mean, this is actually one of the key questions was about, you know, what did you do to pass the time and have fun?
All girls get together, and it was a different type of it. We used to play, I don't know what they call it, draw on the ground. And we say shatapu in our life, jump on one, throw a stone, and then wherever it falls, then we hop with one leg and then two legs and something like that. And the other game we used to play, it's so long time now, we even forgot what we used to do. All girls sit in a circle, and like a tag game. They tag one person, and then they have to run after that person. And they throw something, like we make a roll of the scarf and walk around, slowly draw behind one girl. And if she feels there is something behind, she have to hold the things and run to the other after other girls. If she forget, she didn't feel there is anything behind, the same girl come and pick, and then they hit her, something like that. And then we used to play with the stones. I don't know what they call it, but we used to play. And then these little board games like snake and ladder, things like that.
How about school? Do you remember school? And did you have a joyful class or something you remember from school?
Yes. I was in sports as well. I was in all sort of athletics, like a long jump. I had quite a few awards in a long jump, and I was playing netball as well. I was in a team. I never went outside, but in the college time, I was in a team as well. And study-wise, I was not very high, but upper high level. I had a good grades in my education, and up to school time I was on the top level, but when I went into college for FA, I had a first division, and in BA it was a second division, but upper second division. I wanted to study further, but parents said no, that's enough. And then to start teaching, I had a few different courses in Agriculture University in Faisalabad. They used to run in holidays, cookery courses, baking. So I had quite a few of those courses just for my own life, you know. And my hobby from since I was little was stitching. When my mom used to go out to visit someone, I just take some cloths out and cut the cloths. I was very little, I was in the fifth grade, and I used to cut them and stitch them and sew them, because when mom is home, she won't let me do it. I was so young, but that was my hobby, and it's still the same. It developed, stitching. Embroidery, knitting, these was the things in our times, and there was no internet, no television when we was quite old. We had a television and used to watch radio, we used to listen radios.
Well, how about traditions and celebrations? Did you remember any traditions you had as a child?
Yes, there was traditions about Eids. We celebrate Eids. And it was very exciting time when we all get ready for the next day, all our jewelries, clothes, and brothers' clothes, and everything, clean the house, cook different foods. And that was the main thing, which is mainly we celebrate with the family, and then visit aunties and uncles, and they give money to each other. That was the. There wasn't many other tradition like Hindu people have, Indian have many traditions, but not many in our peoples. Only the weddings, like a mehndi, and then the shadi, weddings. There wasn't things like in these days. It was very simple. Weddings were simple.
Okay, then let's talk about traveling. When did you arrive in the UK, and what was the motive? What was the reason to come over to the UK?
Because I had engagement, and my motive was to come here to get married. Though I had a wedding ceremony in my country, but I traveled to this country as a fiancé, because it was more easier to come as a fiancé here in those days. The laws change after. And then I came here, and the ceremony was here as well.
When was that?
It was in 79. July 22nd, I came here.
And how old were you then?
I was 25.
So you arrived here when you're 25.
Yes.
Did you have any, what was your expectations? What was your anxieties? What were your feelings?
I haven't had any anxiety, actually. I was so confident. When I arrived to the airport, usually in those days, they call the boy in to have his interview, and then they ask questions and everything. And with me, when I came to the airport, nothing happened like that, because there are all other girls who came in the same flight. They was calling them, and the people, my husband and his family was outside, and they was waiting for the call, okay, he will go in and give his interview. But they ask everything from me, and I answer them, and then they ask me to sit over there sometime. I was sitting there, then I asked, where shall I go now? And in the same time, they called me for interpreting for other peoples. I was doing interpreting for them. Perhaps we had a little bonding with those peoples. And then I asked, do I have to sit here all the time now, or how long I have to sit? They said, no, you can go. Where I go now? And they said, go through this way, and I was out.
So when you arrived, what was the UK like? I mean, you got off the plane and in an airport, and you got out the door very easily by the sounds of it. Mm-hmm. What did you remember?
When I was, one of my dad's friend was on the airport to receive me with his family. And then we came out and drive to Newport. It was nice around outside, because weather was good. Not as good. It was quite cold in those days in October. And when I come to the house, though they had quite reasonable house, but that time it was too small for me. And I don't know how I felt, but it seems strange everything. It was strange.
And in what ways was it strange?
Because all people was new to me. I only met his mother before and him. And according to the law of this country, I had the nikah on the same time, same night. Priest was there and close family members was there. And nikah happened. And I was quite calm that time. Wasn't anxious or anything.
So what were the first 6 months like then? If the first immediate was hard work,
yes,
what was the first 6 months like?
6 months, yes. That was quite a different than the family I come from. And I wasn't expecting, because these people, when they go back to Pakistan, they flutter a lot. They make, this is there, and we got this, and we got that. But all, I was disappointed. Because obviously in your family may be the same. And the life is like this. Perhaps my husband's family, they come from a village. For them, they may be a lot. But because I had everything, all these things, more than these things in my house over there, and there wasn't any excitement about those things, which is a basic household things and like that.
So what was the most important thing you had to leave behind then? Looking back in those 6 months, let's say to in a year, what did you feel you left behind that you really kind of missed?
It's the parents and my family. I used to miss my mother. Because in those days, people wasn't traveling back very quickly. First time I went back was 5 years. And obviously you miss parents and friends. It's not easy to make when you are staying home, and you can't make many friends easily.
So okay, then let's extend that time, first 2 years. Mm. What were the best things and what were the worst things here?
My husband was very, very supportive, and he wasn't like he never said anything, whatever he is. He was very honest with me, and that was the big support for me. We lived with the family, and obviously in-laws are in-laws. They pick on every little things. I'm sleeping late, I'm waking up late. If we wake up early, it's no good. Things like that, clean the house, do this, which we never used to. But I did it all. I know we have to do everything ourselves. But slowly, slowly, I learned many things from my mother-in-law as well. Because, then I had my daughter 2 years later, and then we moved out. But I started working after about 7-8 months. I went out and find a job, whatever I can find, and I start working.
Where was it like when the house you first moved into, what was it like?
My in-laws' house.
Yeah.
They had a big reasonable house, 5-bedroom, and but their decoration, it was up to living standard. Better than normal people's who was living here in those days. It was better than theirs. They has all facilities like washing machine and telephone. In those days, telephone was very few people used to have a phone in their house, because all theirs. My husband and his brothers, they was all in universities and all that. So they knew all these things, and they tried to provide their parents. Though my father-in-law was very illiterate, but he was very sensible. And he tried to control everything, even if my mother-in-law, she's a little bit harsh to me. He tried to calm her down and gave us a comfort as well. He was very nice and kind person. So everything was sort of okay.
So how about culturally food-wise, when you arrived here, what was the stark difference? Did you notice anything, or what could you say about that?
Obviously, you feel taste and food different here when you first come. Especially milk was taste different, meat was taste different from back home. And slowly we adopt, get used to it. Water taste was even different.
In what way?
Taste was different. Like from one place to the other, if you go from here to Manchester, water taste is different. It was similar, it was coming here and it was different to me. And food was totally different tastes.
What was your first job like?
I work in a factory. They used to make blinds.
Tell me more about that job. Did you enjoy it? Was it?
It was a necessity that time, coming out of the house and be independent. And I was thinking because when I came here, my husband's graduation was after I was here. I went to his graduation, so he hasn't had any job before. And he start working and I start working, so I can help each other, we can help each other and buy our own house, something. And I was fully support to my husband and he support to me. He never hide anything from me, even though sometimes parents say don't tell this to your wife or anything, but he was very honest. He said, no, I can't do that. He was very respectful to his parents as well, but he was very honest with me. And throughout my life, he was very supportive.
Maintaining links back home, what did you do to maintain the connection and the cultural practices? What habits did you form, or what did you do to try and maintain some link with back home?
Write a letter. Or very rare. Sometime we make book a call. In those days, we have to book a call and talk to my parents, and mostly writing letters.
What kind of things did you talk about in your letters?
I never told them if I have a little bit hard time here. I never told my parents anything about that. And I was thinking that's the normal thing. It can happen if I was in Pakistan. So why I tell them if they can't do anything about it? So those things I never told them. The other things, I'm doing this and asking them how they are doing, and that's all. I was writing letter so they feel comfortable about me.
So as part of this project, the People's Collection is the website, and it has space for multimedia work as well. So it means if you have original letters or photographs or monuments or anything like that, they can be scanned to place with your story. Do you have anything that may be of interest to preserve for the future?
What type of photograph? My
anything you feel is good with your story. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. But the idea is it will be professionally scanned. They have professional scanners that come and they do it very high resolution.
After I came to this country or before my Pakistan photographs or anything?
I think anything is your opinion. I don't have any opinion here. It's about if you want to add anything that's beyond audio and transcription, if you want to add anything into your story. So people are doing their wedding photograph, or they're doing their, you know, picture of their mother or whoever it may be, and you attach it to the story. So when people read or listen, they get to see a picture or photograph or something. It's up to you.
Yeah, do you have anything? I have some photographs, and I have to dig into it. It's a big box of photographs.
Okay, I'm going to write photos available ?
Okay.
So we'll get your contact details, and as they go through the process, they may call you and say, hey, would you like to add something? And they'll book a day where you can bring them in, and the professional will come, they set up the cameras and stuff like that to do high risk kind of. What would you like to pass on to your children, grandchildren, great, great, great grandchildren that would sum up your life here in the UK? I say great, 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 great. far, far away. And they were doing some research and they typed the family name in. My great-great-great-great-great-grandmother lives in Newport. What would you like to say and leave them about you living here?
Yes, the main thing I will tell them to about the faith. Live the life whichever way they feel comfortable, but don't stop practicing, and your faith. We are Muslim. We should stay Muslim and die as a Muslim. It doesn't matter how many generations passed. That's the main thing.
Is there anything you would like to tell them about the way you lived your life? Or how you encourage them to live their life as well? Beyond, I mean, the faith is an important part, but any morals or principles or, or cultures or ethos or philosophies, anything like that?
Stick with the family, respect parents, and love and care is the main thing, and respect. Do with their parents and with their siblings, with their brothers and sisters and family. If they stick with their family, if their family is together, they are stronger.
Thank you very much. Roy had some questions in the other room. I'm going to try and remember them. When did you find out about Age Alive?
About 7 years ago.
And what has it meant for you?
Sorry?
What has it meant for you?
Coming out of house, seeing more friends, trying to find out more about the people's lives and share my own experiences with them. And mentally is very relaxing when you come out of house and talk to people and share your happiness and whatever happened to you. It's a very supportive group. Even if somebody is ill or somebody passed away, they're very supportive. Or any happiness, any weddings, any functions, any get-togethers, we enjoy.
Has it met your expectations? Has it met your expectations? Has it?
Yes, it's quite good. It's very good.
Thank you very much. Anything else you would like to add on the record while we're here? Those are all my questions. Mm-hmm. And there was the two questions from Roy, which was about the project. Anything else you would like to add or share that you feel the future generations must know about?
Yes, I got my 3 children. And my daughters are married. They went to university and all that. And they are married and they got their own children now. And my son is still single. He did pharmacy first, then he decided to do medicine. And he is a junior doctor now. And my children are very close to each other. That was my aim, to brought them up very close. And they are close. They get together, have their good time. And I have good time with them, with my grandchildren. Though my grandson is 19 now, and my one granddaughter is 16, my 2 grandsons, 7 and 3. And we have good time together when they come over. And I will advise them to be stay together. Though they live in their own lives, but stick together and have a good time. That's the main values, and respect each other. And this is what I will expect from them.
Thank you very much
for
your time. I'm going to cut there.